This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 44 of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. Of the two of us, I'm the bigger sucker for nostalgia. And speaking of the number 44, it's divisible by two, and I have two cats.
Nice. I'm Jake. I'm at the McAxel on Twitter and Instagram. And of the two of us, I do not really care for nostalgia, which is weird because I am the eldest of the pair.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pair, 44 is a pair.
Of fours.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or 22s.
Yes, you could. Oh, that is also true. Mm-hmm. You can find us together on Twitter at Polykill. And also, if you venture over to polykill.com, you might find that Collect Call resurfaced.
Oh, yeah. Collect Call came back. If you guys recall, that was a series that Travis did. He would speak to other collectors about their collections and gripes, happy times, big catches. The works.
The whole works. And for the first season, you were there a lot across the table just silently judging me as I asked people questions, and you couldn't hear either of us.
Right.
Really.
All I could hear was you breathing.
Mm-hmm. And but I've been giving it a go on my own.
Yeah,
so
you've been doing good.
I'm a big boy now.
Yeah.
You know, I've grown into a podcast man.
You have.
And I interviewed Eric of Mighty Q-Dog fame there this past episode, and it was a lot of fun. Really enjoy Eric. It was great getting to know that guy because he has, in the club, he's got a lot of, he's just extremely intelligent. There's a lot of mystique surrounding, you know, like, I don't know what he does, like, but I feel like it's very mathy.
He just comes
across that way. And so it was fun getting to know his video game collection habits, the spreadsheets, all that stuff, dove in deep. So that was fun. Go check that out. All the pictures that he sent for that podcast and of his collection are over there on polykill.com. So be sure to check that out.
Indeed.
Coming up next week, we will have Off Kilter 7.
What? It's time for another one already?
Yeah, we do one a month.
That's
7
crazy.
Months in. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. 7 months?
Yeah.
That's
roughly
nuts.
Yeah, give or take.
It's nuts.
But we want you. We have a really hard time coming up with topics. You wouldn't believe.
It's just so, you know, we like talking about three things, and we've covered a lot of that already. So
yeah,
we don't.
Sure.
We need to expand out a little bit.
Music, video games, and our genitals.
Usually those two incorporate our genitals somehow, but movies was the other one.
Oh, true that. Well, this time we're asking, and again, we're phoning these in, but if you would send us a funny story or an interesting story, awkward, funny, weird, of something that occurred to you in a restaurant.
A restaurant.
Happened to you in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Maybe you worked there. Maybe you overheard something. Maybe you saw something happen. Maybe you saw something go down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had a date there. Maybe you had a bad experience or a good experience. Let us know. We're interested.
Maybe you were, you know, there watching a sporting event or something.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But let us know.
Also, I will bring up that since the last episode of Polykill, I was a guest on a Cartridge Club podcast about Overwatch.
That's true.
Myself, Musty Hobbit, Mighty Q-Dog, and Miles from Flock of Nerds, as well as P1, sat around and gabbed about Overwatch, talked about the lore, the characters, the gameplay, etc. So if you've got, you know, a while and you want to get more interested or more information about Overwatch and why we, as a group, think it's one of the better games ever made, and explore maybe some of our little critiques of it, as well as, you know, what we like to do with it, check that podcast out. It's a good time.
It runs about, what, 2.5 hours? 3 hours almost?
Yeah, it's like 2.5. So it's pretty lengthy. So don't let that scare you. You can, you know, just listen to it in bites on your commute or, you know, if you got a lazy Saturday, lazy Sunday, just, you know.
Or a lazy eye.
Lazy eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lazy uncle.
Yeah.
Just pop out a hammock, lie in it, bask in the sun, and listen to a podcast.
Yeah. Well, your sexy voice is on it, so who could say no to that?
Exactly. Apparently, my voice can get people pregnant.
That's the word on Twitter. Is it Twitter?
It was on Twitter.
Yeah. So you
don't remember who I'm tired. I'm sorry.
You're a dad now. You're a Twitter dad. Your voice got somebody pregnant. A man got a man pregnant.
With a voice.
Yes.
Miracles happen.
All right. I got a transition for you. Ready? You got to name it.
Who on the radar, baby? Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. That was.
It was Elvis.
Okay, cool. I was hoping you looked uncomfortable, like I don't, like you didn't want to.
I didn't
guess.
Know what you meant by like name it, because I thought it was obvious that it was Elvis.
Oh, well, I thought so too, but okay. In case it was so bad, I wanted you to bail me out with a good guess.
Danzig.
No. and the reason I led in hard with that good transition is because we don't really have a lot to talk about in this segment, so we had to spice it up somehow.
I understand.
Pickups. For me, I actually made a point today before we started this podcast to go out and buy a game so that I could include it here. and that was, I went to one of my favorite local retro shops and picked up The Lost Vikings, one of my favorite games.
Nice. This is for Genesis.
Yes. Well, it is for Genesis and the Super Nintendo. I don't know if there are any differences in the two ports. There could be. I actually already have the Super Nintendo version, but I got box and manual for that. Ooh. Genesis version. And there's probably a difference in those two games.
I would assume so. They're usually with something slight.
Yeah, could have been. But I love that series. And actually, the very first version of that game I played was on PlayStation, and it was called North by Northwest, Tale of the Lost Vikings. Mm. And so I've been trying to go back and play all of them that I can. So I just picked that up.
Got a
decent deal on it, but it is complete, which is really cool.
Very, very cool.
And you weren't able to seek out any good deals this past couple of weeks?
You know, I didn't. Like, there's currently a sale going on PSN, like a mid-year sale, and I've got my eye on one game in particular. Mm-hmm. I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I probably will over the weekend because I have a four-day weekend coming up, so I'll probably pull the trigger and get it. But it, Adrift is the game. Mm. It's a first-person Lost in Space kind of, like, imagine Gravity, the movie, you know, the movie Gravity.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave me that vibe, yeah.
Is that George Clooney in that one?
Yeah. Yeah, Sandra Bullock, George Clooney. So, and it's a $20 game on sale for like $3. So I'm like, I'll pull the trigger on that. It looks good.
Yeah,
so. I think it was initially planned as a VR game, but it's not required. So
cool. And in terms of the radar, July 4th to July 17th is pretty dry.
Very dry.
Dry as a desert.
Dry as cracker juice.
dry as cracker juice. That's right. That's good, too. That's funny. Mm. I like that. It's good.
You're welcome.
Let's just go ahead and last time we talked a lot about E3, so what else happened last episode?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav knocked Kirby's Adventures and Donkey Kong for a Game Boy off his backlog while sticking long-term with The Witcher. Jake recommits to Horizon Zero Dawn and makes a new Overwatch friend on the internet. The fellas slap a bow on E3 2017 with an in-depth recap of each press conference for an extra-long topic of discussion.
Bringing it back with some Hot Jakes. Hit that Hot Jakes music. Jake, you ready?
I'm ready.
These are the topics on Hot Jakes this time around. We got the SNES Classic Mini with Star Fox 2 dropping.
Do a barrel roll.
PS Plus for July includes Until Dawn.
Save me.
Xbox Ultimate Game Sale starting this weekend.
Money, money, money.
Money.
Rocket League in 2017. Summer X Games.
Nice shot.
Yes, yes. What do you think about all these? Let's start with the SNES Classic Mini, also with Star Fox 2 on it. What do you think about that?
Well, so I remember one of the first Hot Jakes that we did here on Polykill was about the discontinuation of the NES Mini.
Yeah.
And we were like, hey, that's stupid. Why are they doing it? It's basically printing money.
So dumb.
And then immediately thereafter, you know, I think maybe even during that segment, we talked about the rumor going around that, you know, this NES Classic Mini might be gearing up for production, which is why they were discontinuing the NES Classic Mini. Not really a surprise. I think the biggest surprise is Star Fox 2.
Yeah.
You know, now I haven't read the details on that. I know it was unfinished and unreleased, right? So did they finish up production on it to release it, or is it still kind of in the state it was before, you know, we all kind of heard about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought it was fairly finished. They just didn't release it because it was so late in the SNES's lifespan. Mm. They didn't want it to cloud up the
64.
Well, the perception of 3D graphics for the 64, because obviously the Star Fox 2 and the Mode 7 graphics were nice for the SNES, but not compared to the 64, which neither have aged well.
Correct.
But that's what I heard. I could be completely wrong.
Right, yeah, you would know more than me because that's more up your alley.
I also know that Star Fox 2 is a very different game than the original Star Fox.
Okay.
I just kind of briefly saw a little YouTube snippet in the last couple of weeks because I was curious myself because it doesn't exist. I can't own it. I can't collect for it. I can only emulate it, and I hadn't really thought to. Mm. But it does look a little bit different. I mean, it's still like a 3D polygonal space vector game, but not the same kind of style that the first one was in.
Okay. I think it's pretty interesting. Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting. And I think there's, you know, I haven't looked at like pre-orders open for this yet.
I'm just curious
to how the production is going to go on this. I really hope they don't drop the ball on it. I doubt.
They said there would be more, but they have to say that.
Of course.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, what else could they do after this to shut down production on that? I don't think they're going to do like a...
Bring back the NES Mini?
Well, I don't think they're bringing back the NES Mini, and I don't think they'll do it at 64 after it.
Yeah, probably.
You know? So I guess this is probably the last one that they will do. That's my perception. So maybe the production will last longer.
Maybe.
Based on that. Based on my hunch.
It's all tricky, man. You never know with Nintendo, especially in regards to this. This has been weird.
This has been very strange.
Been very strange. What did you think about the games that you saw on the SNES Mini, though?
I mean, I figure it's basically kind of what we all expected to be on there.
I was hoping that Earthbound would be on there and was really glad to see it on there. I thought that was a really cool addition.
That's a smart move.
Kind of surprised not to see something like Chrono Trigger on there.
That's everybody's beef.
But it's third party, and who knows about the licensing things that go into this? I mean, you never really know, but... Yeah, there's tons of videos going around. It's like the games that were omitted from the SNES Mini.
Like,
no, come on, guys.
Just like, quit being subjective.
God damn, just relax.
Come on.
But it is cool.
I agree.
Don't want one. Do you want one?
I don't care to have one.
I don't have any for one. So.
Yeah.
I'll let everybody else get one.
Might make a great gift.
I'm sure they'll become rare due to people buying 15 of them to sell on eBay and that kind of thing. So.
Yes.
I'll just let everybody else have one if they want one.
Done.
PS Plus for July includes Until Dawn.
Yeah, this is, in my opinion, a very, very big step for PlayStation Plus games. There's been some bigger titles in the past, but I think this one is like, I don't know, for some reason it really stands out to me.
What are some of those bigger titles? Like, what do they usually come out with on PS
Plus? It's usually PS Plus games and If you read the subreddits and forums, people always complain they're indies, you know, because that's a genre.
Oh, gosh.
But it usually is a smaller game, and usually something, I would say, mid to lower tier if it's a AAA, you know, high production game. So the fact that this one is, you know, it's a big first-party game, because, I mean, they haven't, you know, launch titles for PS4, we all figured would be free by now. On PS Plus, at least a month, like Killzone or Knack or something like that. Still hasn't happened. And then here they go, like, bam, here's Until Dawn. So,
which is what, 2015 maybe?
Yeah, late 2015.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's...
big budget game, pretty good.
Right. And, well, I think mostly well-received. I think people had some critiques for it, but people love the game. Like, audiences like the game.
Sure.
So I'm really excited to play this, because I have seriously almost bought this game multiple times. I'm glad I didn't.
Well, it's sort of putting impetus out there for myself and Brian to pick up a PS4.
So
we were thinking about going in, doing a split custody on a PS4. You know, you keep it a little bit, I'll play it a little bit, and then we could split the costs and split the games.
Right.
And, you know, PS Plus rolling around July, Until Dawn's a game that we both were interested in playing together as a couch bro-up action. So, you know, hopefully July things work out, find a good deal. Keep Craigslisting, and you ever use the app Let Go?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. I've never got anybody to let go of anything for as cheap as I wanted on there, but you never know. Tide could turn. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Xbox Ultimate Game Sale starting this weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about this.
It's supposed to be bigger and better than ever.
So, yeah, over 300 things on sale.
7 days and not four?
Right, so it's a bit longer.
A little longer.
And there's been some titles mentioned. Like a full release hasn't been released as of the recording of this episode, but there, you know, they buzzed a few by in this little teaser video for it, and Prey was on that list. So
So
I was like, what's it going to be? If it's like, you know, $35, I might jump in on that. But I'm guessing it'll probably be $45 or something like that. But, I mean, Ghost Recon Wildlands is in there, and I know that's a game that I've been interested in playing, especially if anyone else that I know picks it up. So, anyway, keep me posted out there in Twitter land and Polykill listener land. If you pick up a game out there that's got some multiplayer, let me know. I might pick it up, too, and we'll play.
Yay! Yeah. Social stuff.
I like it.
Good Lord.
I'm like it's tight match.
I believe that runs through July 10th, so you have about a week after this episode drops to...
Correct. Starts June 30th.
Yeah. Rocket League in the 2017 Summer X Games.
This is crazy, right?
I don't know. I don't think it is crazy.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. Why isn't it crazy?
I would think it would be crazy if it were the first game ever in X Games. But I think this is a quintessential X Games game.
Quintessential because it's very skill-based.
It's such a sport game.
It is. I think it's interesting because, first of all, it's a very, Psyonix is a small team. They have made themselves very recognizable with Rocket League. I think this thing has gotten much bigger than they ever anticipated it being.
Yeah. It's huge. It's with the Switch support coming soon, yeah. It's going to get even bigger. Crossplay with that as
they've
well.
They've had all sorts of they're basically ads, advertising tie-ins, but they've partnered with Fast and Furious, Batman versus Superman, Rick and Morty are coming to Rocket League.
Yeah.
So there's tons of partnerships that they're doing. Now they're partnering with ESPN and X Games, which basically gets their foot in the door for Disney. So you never know where that could lead in the future. So I think it's pretty interesting. I think there's a prize pool of $75K.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah,
make some money doing that. And I mean, obviously Rocket League is a big esport game anyway already, but
in terms of esports or just games that I enjoy watching other people play, that's one of the few that I can actually sit there and enjoy watching skilled people go at it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's like watching sports.
Yeah,
and I think that's I think it's because of that, not to just continue seeing the praises of that game, but I think it's just the controls are so refined in that game that you never feel cheated out of them. Like if you're playing NBA 2K16 or you're playing Madden, there's always a time where I hit the button and it didn't work, or it glitched out, or something weird happens and you don't get to make the pass because some AI decides that, it's actually time for an interception. We hit the RNG and it's interception time, so we're going to catch this even if it's implausible.
Yeah.
I think that, none of that is present in Rocket League. So I think that's what makes it fun to watch, and I think it makes a lot of sense to be at X Games. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm actually somewhat excited about that. I hope it doesn't slip too far under my radar. It will be on ESPN, ESPN3. I don't expect to tune in, but I might keep tabs on how it goes.
Cause
that's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. That was a good old slab of hot Jakeness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah. So games that we have completed?
I haven't completed anything.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
What's gotten in the way? What's got you down?
I've been really tired lately. I haven't been sleeping well, and work has been very intense. So when I get home at the end of the day, I just sort of want to just stare at things and not move. So that just kind of gets in the way of playing games.
That's weird. I thought you were a librarian. It's weird.
I'm not.
Oh.
I'm not. Now, that being said, I have played games, but it's just I haven't had the...
You haven't gotten the credits.
I haven't gotten credits, and I just haven't had the overall wherewithal to engage in something. Now, I did dive into one a bit, but I'll get into that in a minute. I just haven't beat anything.
Well, I threw a little something out there on the Twitter sphere a few hours ago.
Yeah.
Were you privy to that? Did you know what
I did? I did see that. I
said, new Polykill set to record soon. Any predictions on how many games each of us beat since the last episode?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our friend Brian, a lot of these were smacks in the face.
Sure.
Our friend Brian just said zero. Zero.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I was like, come on, Brian. Come on. And he goes, I beat 3 games in the last 5 days. Boom. And I'm like, why don't you maybe blog about it? What are we paying you for?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Maybe don't
get
sassy.
Where's this money going?
Maybe we get sassy on Twitter. That's good, Brian.
That's pretty cool.
But that's the sass.
Knock it off. Yeah, take it down a notch.
Cut it down.
Easy.
And then some other person said zero as well.
Who's it?
I think it was Derek Deech. Deech 13.
Deech.
No respect.
Breaking my heart.
Absolutely no respect. But then one person just flat out nailed it.
Oh.
They said, and gosh, I'm going to kill time while I try to find this fucking tweet. He goes, Travis 3, Jake none because of overrated watch, but maybe closer to beating Horizon. Yeah, a little shade drew away.
My God. Yeah, is this?
It's Frankie from, it's Viper Strike with a lot of Ys.
All right.
otherwise made it difficult for me to enunciate it. But a lot of shade your way. So no one had any faith in you. No one predicted you would even beat a game. So
I got a long weekend coming up. I'm going to be like 8 games.
God, I hope you do. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I'll come back in here with
the next episode. Have to be like a 3-parter.
just for me talking about games I've beaten.
Yeah, but no, I did. I beat 2 games, Frankie. So I didn't quite beat 3. I appreciate you believing in me like that. That was great. But I only beat 2. And here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's some good ones.
Okay.
All right. So. I went classic last couple weeks, NES, double down the NES, and I had a friend up. I beat both of these with buddies, sort of.
All right.
I practiced one with a buddy and ended up beating it on my own, and that was Super Mario Bros. 2, the black sheep of the original triplets.
Not actually a Mario game until it came over here, right?
A trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Doki Doki Panic over there in the Japans, and it came over. Here's a different game, and it's a lot of dinosaurs throwing eggs and stuff
Shy
like
guys
that.
And all sorts of
stuff. I don't know all the details involved with the translation and the differences in the Switch and all and the whatnot, but growing up, I did not like that game. It was not Mario enough for me.
It's definitely different, especially coming off the first game, moving to the second game. Pretty much everything is different.
Everything from the color palette to the enemies to being able to pick things up and throw them, and it was
mechanics,
very confusing.
Controls, level
design. The secret door going in. So growing up, I wasn't attracted to this game at all.
Sure.
Never owned it.
Always really liked playing as Luigi.
Because of the flutter,
kick thing. I just love that. Yeah. That was hilarious as a kid.
So my buddy Josh comes up, and anytime he comes up, he's like, "What can we beat? Can we beat any games this weekend?" I'm like, "Dude, have you even been in my house before?" Like, yeah, we can totally do that. So I was like, I'm gonna throw one at you that's fairly passe. Like, it's not gonna knock your socks off when I say it out loud. But what do you think about Super Mario Bros. 2? Like, have you beaten it? Like, I've not. I'd like to get that one down.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. So we put it in, and neither of us have a lot of experience with it at all. Like, he played a little bit of it on All Stars on a Super Nintendo growing up. But again, it wasn't his favorite game. He didn't put a lot of time into it. We go through and figure out all the little nuances, how the potions work, how the secrets work, how the coins work, and we get a little bit better. We ended up sticking with Peach, or the princess, as she's known in that game. The hover.
Yeah.
It's key.
It's very important.
It's clutch. I stuck with her the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
No reason to deviate. She's great for the whole thing. We didn't get to finish it because the power got knocked out and we were really far in,
Kind
of sucked. Like, what is this? What is this, 1812?
Well, yeah.
What was the power
what is
going
Dark
on?
Ages?
What was going on?
What is this?
He had to leave. We didn't get to finish it. We said we'd do homework. He has a pie. I have the game. We'd play it on our own, maybe go back and forth and see how each other was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up beating it the night after he left. Real excited about it. It's actually not that bad, this whole time. It's intimidating because it's a different.
Right.
All in all, not bad. Kind of fun. I like it a lot more than the original. I'll even say that.
What?
Doesn't have the nostalgic factor. The first one's,
it's that's classic. I get
strongly linked with the NES. But this, I think 2 is just a better, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's a just different
it's
game.
More diverse,
it's
too.
Very,
I think that's what I enjoy about it.
Sure. Neither hold a candle to 3, but both are pretty good.
Yeah, 3's the pinnacle.
Yeah. And then another buddy came up, and we're a Mega Man tag.
Notice how none of these buddies are me.
Yeah, well, you never come over to play old games. You only want to come over and yell into these things about games you haven't beaten. Another buddy came over, took a day off, half a day, and he's my Mega Man friend, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody's got one. You got that Mega Man friend. I've never been high on Mega Man, but I'll play it with another bro.
Sure.
And we've knocked out a few. We've knocked out 1, 2, and 3, and not 4. Don't own 5. It's a little pricey.
Mm.
So skip the 6. It's
okay.
The next cheapest one. I had it. Skip the 6. 6, you can tell it's the last one for the NES. A lot of the cutscenes are really pretty. All in all, the game is pretty much Mega Man, but one of the cool things about that Mega Man game is, I believe, the
boobs?
Fans...
No.
No, there are no boobs. The fans, like kids, I guess, at the time, got to design a lot of the enemies, a lot of the bosses. And so there are some interesting ones there.
No doubt.
Like Tomahawk Man and Night Man, and so there are some fun ones there. They don't really blow you away in terms of their attack or anything. I don't know that how much say they had in that, if they could just design the character and not the attack or whatever. But
gotcha.
Still a lot of fun. You do the whole thing, you beat them all, then you go through the Wily's castle, do a boss rush.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the easier Mega Mans, I believe, of the NES ones, but. Not by much.
Cool.
Not by much. Still good. So,
cool.
Knocked out a couple old NES classics, Mega Man 6, Super Mario Bros. 2. Got those under the belt. Feeling pretty good about it.
Nice.
Boom, boom, bitty boom.
Mm.
What did we add to the piles of shame?
Now, one thing I didn't do was add a game to my backlog.
Is that one thing you didn't do? Because I also think you also didn't beat any games.
That's also true.
So it's two things. That
my backlog did not grow.
It's true. Well, that's good, though.
It remained static, right. So I'm looking at this as a positive thing.
I see what you're saying. Well, yeah. I added a few games to the backlog, and I'll just keep talking. So,
but I can chime in on the last one.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that,
go ahead and say it.
Because we advanced past the last section already, I didn't like officially retire Final Fantasy II,
right.
But I'm putting it on a small hold. I'm pushing pause on it because I was getting a little flabbergasted with it. And I wasn't really having fun anymore, and I'm really trying to break this thing where I keep playing a game even when it's not fun anymore.
Beat a Final Fantasy game.
That, but yes, especially that. And maybe this is just a lame excuse to get out of it. But I don't want to play games anymore when I'm not having fun. When it turns into a chore, I just got to learn to stop. And I'm doing that with Final Fantasy. It stopped being fun. I was like, you know what? I got tons of other games I want to play. So I added Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest.
Yeah, boy.
To fill that SNES void.
Void, yeah.
Yeah. I beat the first Donkey Kong, the country. Mm-hmm. Not long ago. Talked about it on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's only naturally moved to the second one.
What do you think about it in comparison to the first?
You know, I hear a lot of people talk about how they think the second one is just a much better game. It's a far superior game. But
see, I've never heard that.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Nah, that's stupid. I mean, we all agree that the third one's kind of ass. But
I haven't played much of the third one, but
it's
okay.
Kind of ass. But not the good ass, the bad ass. And not bad ass isn't like good.
Right, like just like, yeah.
Stank ass.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest. I actually really enjoyed this game. So a fun little anecdote, if I may.
Please, jump in.
About the game. So when I was growing up, I was really poor, didn't have much. Had a SNES, got that one year for Christmas from grandparents. And Donkey Kong Country came with it. Played through that.
The first one.
Mm. And played through it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Beat it multiple times. When you have one game, you kind of
you get to know it
really well, like the startup sounds, the transition between the the acclaimed lizard with the basketball and NBA, like you remember all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day,
iguana lizard, but
my sister and I we were going to play some games, and I don't remember who, but somebody bought us Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest, and they basically started up the same. Like you put it in, hit the power, and then the Rare logo spins.
Yeah,
and you get some music.
Mm-hmm.
The music is different between the two.
They are indeed.
And I noticed immediately that it was because somebody put this. Like, oh, I'll put this in for you. Here you go.
So they're trying to
sneak
surprise
it in.
You.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was like, hey,
at the logo,
this was a different game.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's getting to know your games.
I agree, but I had a lot of fun with it. You know, the additional. There were a few additional animals, new additional mounts, I guess.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think, what I mean is, people say it's a better game because, I guess, in general, it is.
Technically
a better game. But certainly the first one's far more memorable because it was more pervasive. And
it also had
Donkey Kong in it, which Diddy Kong Quest did not. And I believe the soundtrack for the first one is maybe slightly superior, maybe because it's more familiar too. So it's not really, maybe not a fair comparison, but both are great.
I enjoy those games, and I think that they will, they have stood the test of time. You can still go back and play those.
Oh, yeah.
And they have aged very well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I'm maybe 20%, 25% of the way through the second one.
But, does this one have Dixie Kong in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Right.
And then Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance for the PS2.
Yeah, this is some old school isometric RPG goodness. Yeah.
The reason we're playing it, so this kind of ties back into Skyrim for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She had never really played a video game, at least not a sit down at a console play video game. Of course, she's played tons of games on her phone and her iPad, but this was the first, I guess, intense video game that she'd ever played, which was Skyrim. Mm,
that's a big one to tackle.
Well, it was, and I remember, I at the time, I guess it's retrospectively poor of me to have undermined her like that, but she's like, I want to play a video game, and I was like, well, we got like Rabbids and we got like Yoshi, and she was like, no, I want to play Skyrim, and I was like, I mean, if you've never played a game before,
it'd be tough.
It'd be kind of tough. Like, But she proved me wrong. She beat it twice and spent 200 plus hours in it both times. So I was like, fine, play whatever the fucking game you want. Like, why'd you even ask? Like, you're so good at Skyrim. You're clearly better than me at it. So we were trying to think of a game to play the other night. She goes, I kind of want to play a game with you. I was like, great. Yeah, what do you want to play? Like, I'm like pulling out all these games. And she was like, what's this one all about? And I was like, well, you know, honestly, it's a little... Like, it speaks the same language as Skyrim, in a sense, Baldur's Gate, very Dungeons and Dragons, RPG, much like the way Skyrim was derived. And I was like, it doesn't kind of function like Skyrim. It's co-op, so we can't play it together. It's sort of top-down, and you kind of loot grind. And she's like, what does that mean? And I explain the game. We get there, and dude, she's good. She's, like, beating it. Like, I'm at, like... on her coattails the whole time. Like, where are we going? Like, what's going on? We drop me that weapon? No, you don't want to? Okay, that's fine. You keep it. You're better than me anyway. So we've been having a lot of fun with that. So I'm excited about it. It's hard. I'm hoping we can get through it. I hear the second one's a little bit easier. So hopefully we can get through and play both. I'd like to do that.
Very cool.
But that's what I've been doing. I added that to the backlog.
Very nice.
If you want to add things to your backlog, maybe you want a robot in your house. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to roll over one morning and look at your phone and say breakfast, and then a robot hears that and maybe misunderstands it and accidentally murders your whole family. But the idea that maybe
that could happen.
Yes. Yeah. Imagine if that could happen.
That'd be like, pretty awesome, right?
And you'd be like, well, those robots. I mean, maybe it was a misunderstanding, but still,
yeah.
Caltech can help you with that. They can build robots that can murder your entire family at the touch of a button. This episode is sponsored by Calden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send an email to info@calden.tech. That is info@CODEN.tech. And as Caltech makes me say each time, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis. Which, you know, we played Mega Man the other night, and maybe it's true.
Mm.
Maybe it's true. Mm. If you like what you're hearing so far, and we hope you do.
We know you do.
Please check us out on Facebook. It's the best Facebook page you'll probably find. It's facebook.com/polykillpodcast. There's nudes on there of us, so check that out. Mm-hmm. Go to cartridgeclub.org. That is short for organism.
Orgasm.
And polykill.com. That's where we keep all the stuff. That's where we hid all of Mighty Q Dog's collect call photos.
Mm-hmm.
So those were his nudes as well. If you have an off-kilter story or you want to reach out to us at all, please email us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you want to complain about anything Jake has said over the course of the podcast, that'd be a good place to leave it.
I agree.
Please rate us on iTunes. Maybe leave a little paragraph that says something nice, or you can just email that to us as well. But rating us is good on any service that you use, whether it be...
thumbs up, hearts, stars.
All of that stuff.
Whatever.
Subscribe, first and foremost.
Do that.
But you can find us on, you know, I don't know how you're listening to us right now, but if you're like, I don't really like this app, well, we're also on TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast FM, Podcatcher, Podbean. Just Google Polykill and put your headphones on. Something will happen.
I agree. It will happen.
You also might find our nudes. And then subscribe to our Sad and Lonely YouTube channel. All that's been going up there are podcasts. Podcast. But maybe one day we'll make more new some nude videos. What am I? I got this nude theme all of a sudden.
It's summertime.
I thought I had more jokes than this, but I'm just like, just go with nude. They'll think it's funny at least once.
Yeah.
So speaking of nudes, it's time for
long play. So flourishy.
Yeah, you know, I just try to keep it different each time.
Yep.
But this is games that we're spending the most time on within our backlogs. Go, take it away, Jake. I'm tired of talking.
Oh, I'm glad that you are tired of talking. I'm not tired of listening to you.
Oh, whatever.
I don't think anyone else is.
I'm sure they are.
I'll take over, get a few people pregnant.
Nudes.
So, in the last episode, I spoke and sort of made a commitment to go back to Horizon Zero Dawn.
What was the name of the game again?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
What are you saying there at the end, though?
Okay. Dong. Nudes. Which I'll credit FitNat for giving me the idea. and also hilariously so, probably, I don't know, 2 days after he told me that, while we were playing Overwatch, not Overrated Watch, but Overwatch, he mentioned that to me and thought it would be a good idea, and I said, I agree. But I was looking on Reddit, and on the PS4 subreddit, there was someone who posted a picture from the photo mode of Horizon Zero Dawn, and that was the title of the photo, was Horizon Zero Dawn, and it was a picture of Aloy, like, standing in front of this big phallic rock, like, doing a heart thing.
Wow.
It was like, all right, I just got to say it at this point.
yes.
So anyway, I recommitted to playing this. Finally got to it this week, probably two nights ago. My wife has been working an alternate shift, so she's been going in at night. So I've just had, you know, pretty much all the free time to do things. Not that she hampers me, but I feel a little bit more at liberty with
she
just
gets in the way.
Eating cereal and playing video games.
She's always kicking around in front of the TV and screaming.
Yeah.
And
yeah, doing...
blow off the coffee table, and you're
exactly.
like, stop.
Like, get out.
I'm trying to play Zero Dawn right now.
Yeah. But anyway, so I decided to jump back into that and probably put in a steady 5 hours in one night.
Hmm.
So it was great. I progressed much further than I had before, obviously, and killed my first Thunderjaw, which was...
what she said. Yeah. Wait, well, I don't know. Maybe not. Nudes.
and progressed a bit in the story, doing a few little side quests, but mainly sticking to the main plot, deviating occasionally as things sort of piqued my interest. But, you know, the game, I hoarded a lot of my money, I hoarded a lot of my skill points, and then I got to the point where I was like, I'm just going to just spend some of this, and now I'm even more powerful, got a super powerful bow. Got some new alternate arrows that just break armor off of things just naturally. I got a sweet bolt caster now, so I got like this big automatic gun that shoots bolts. So yeah, I've been having a blast with it, and the game is just continually impressing me. As every time I advance, you know, the story's okay, you know, it's not mind blowing, but it's just, it's in the gameplay, it's in the visuals, it's in the mechanics, and, you know, fighting even the smallest of creatures is exhilarating. Like, I can't remember the name of the one creature. And I told myself I was going to remember this, but I can't remember it. But they're basically like robot ostriches, you know. That's kind of like, they're like long necks or long legs or something. I can't remember what they're called. But anyway, they dance around and they scream at you. And then every, like, the sound in the game just dies down a little bit. It sounds like you've, like, an explosion's gone off in your ears. And, like, she puts her hands over her ears and she can't fight. So you got to fight them while you're doing this. And, like, a pack of three attacked me the other night.
Yeah.
And you just had to, you know, hold your ground and dodge and roll and shoot them with things. And it's just, it's so fun. So I'm glad I'm back in it.
That's cool, man. I'm glad you're back in it too. Do you think it's looking like you're, well, maybe just,
I mean,
how far
I'm
do you think
probably you are, 15, 16 hours in. That does include a lot of just roaming around, taking pictures because it's so goddamn pretty.
But it's about a 40-hour campaign.
A 40-hour campaign. So I really don't know. I haven't looked to see where I'm at.
So check back about this time next year.
I'm not going to say that. but I'm glad to be back.
Cool, man. Me too. Well, it was good hearing you slob that Zero Dawn a little bit. If you know what I mean. I played a little more of The Witcher Wild Hunt.
Yeah.
Not a lot to say, just moving right along.
Okay.
You know?
Just doing more Witcher stuff.
Didn't put a lot of time into it, honestly. I maybe advanced the game hour and a half, 2 hours. I'm kind of sticking to the story right now. I'm really, you know, I'm kind of want to move on to some other games, but I'm not rushing it.
Gotcha.
I'll do a side quest here and there, but trying to stay as focused as I can.
Understandable.
But it's a hell of a game.
I agree.
Side quests. These are games that we don't tell our long play about.
Correct.
So Final Fantasy II, I'll just briefly mention, hit a bit of a roadblock, and it's not completely impassable. It's just I lost patience.
It's just Final Fantasy, and you can't finish it.
That's true. I wish you'd stop rubbing it in like that, though. It's very hateful.
You usually like it when I rub it in.
Stop. Nudes. Stop. So I got. I'm near the end. I'm on the moon. That's the end of the game. You're on the moon, and I went, you know, 20 to 30 minutes without saving because I couldn't, because I'm down in the caves of the moon. Do you know the moon had caves?
I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me because there were caves on the moon in the Doctor Who episode that I watched about the moon not long ago.
Okay.
So anyway, know.
Final Fantasy, there's caves and then there's things in there that you can run away from most enemies in the game. And
like,
it kind of
like a chicken shit?
Yeah, but it's almost part of the game in some regard. Like in some places,
being a coward's part of the game. Neat.
It is.
That's neat.
There are parts of the game.
I like
where
that.
Like
I wasn't making fun
you
of that.
Being a dick.
I was not making fun of that little pansy ass guy. I was not.
but there's parts of the game where running away is very important to getting the fuck not knocked out of you.
Right.
I tried to run away because I was like, I really need to save. I'm almost dead. I got to get back to the ship. And then there were some enemies that won't let you.
Oh shit!
Suddenly, out of nowhere, and I got my ass handed to me several times.
Mm.
And I just was like, you know what? Fuck a bunch of this. I'm going to put this away and play a little bit of Donkey Kong and break my controller being angry at that game instead of Final Fantasy.
Gotcha.
And then, it's not a game that's on my backlog. I don't care if I beat it or not. But okay. I did dabble in a classic from a previous generation, mm-hmm, which is Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Started that up. I loved playing that first.
That first level is so good. It just hooks you.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of powers. Got all the powers.
Slamming, choke slamming Wookiees.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Enjoyed that. And I played maybe an hour and a half of it. Yeah, it was fun. I don't know if I'll go back to it, but I just wanted to mention that it's good.
You did dabble.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
A little bit dabbling. It's not a long game. I could. It's like 8 hours maybe.
Yeah, it's not terribly long, yeah.
Cruise right through it. So that was that. Played a little more Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance with my wife. That's what I did on the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
As to be expected, I did play some Overwatch.
Of course, overrated Watch.
And played, played a little bit with a few people from the club in the last couple of weeks. Not much. Also played a little bit with James. Not much. But to get some time in.
Buddy James, excuse me.
Went on a horrible losing streak and then came back with a massive win streak that I'm still on and riding that tide, having a lot of fun, getting some cool plays of the game, enjoying my life when I play it. So doing that. And also Dying Light. I told everyone that I picked this up finally.
Yeah, Frank Scheid. I remember that.
And man, I got to say, I really like it. I really like it.
I thought you were going to play it a little more. I'm surprised you...
I put probably 2-3 hours into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm committed to Horizon.
Okay.
But I am side questing on this
as
the mood strikes. So it's from Techland. So if you've played Dead Island, you kind of have an idea of what the game's going to feel like. But it's also very much kind of what I expected, which was, Dead Island mixed with Mirror's Edge. And maybe a little bit of Outlast, in my opinion, because at night it turns into a horror game and you can get chased by these giant mandible faced zombie hunter things and
mandible faced. I like that.
It's a great game. I really highly recommend if you're into zombie games at all. Mm-hmm. They're hard as fuck to kill, especially at first. You got to beat them in the head a lot. But it's very satisfying when you finally kill one and their head splits off or whatever. So highly recommend that game. I'm looking forward to diving in further into the Dying of Light.
Okay.
A little Dylan Thomas there for you at the end.
Cool. We'll move on then to the discussion. Now, Jake.
Yeah. What you got?
Do you know Pam from the club?
I do know Pam from the club.
Pam tweeted, she said, "Man, I am sick of E3 podcasts." And I was like, "Me too. Gosh, I'm so sick of
I'm
Pam.
Over it.
Amen." And then I was like, "Wait a minute. We fucking did 3 of them." Like, I'm part of the problem. We're part of the problem.
Part of the problem.
So we decided that we would do an E4
correct
podcast. This is not E3. This is different. And seriously, it's not an E3 podcast.
It is not.
Because every other E3 podcast talked about your EA, your Microsoft.
You got a war.
Your Sony. You got a war. It got beaten to death, right? We're over it. Hey.
I'm done with it.
There are games that came out or that were unveiled amidst E3 presentations.
Some smaller things.
Smaller things that no one is talking about. And a lot of these games look really fucking cool.
I agree.
So let's go over it. Let's do it.
Let's go over a few of them. Let's talk about that.
One of them?
This is E4.
Let's just...
Brought to you by Polykill.
E4. This is exclusive coverage.
Yeah.
We're on the E4.
E4 2017.
We're on the E4 floor right now.
The E4 show floor.
Show floor right now. We took our set to the E4 floor. It's hard to say.
E4 show floor.
Yeah.
Say like that.
Let's jump in. Showdown.
Yes.
Showdown. Semicolon. I don't know.
It's colon.
Showdown. Made by Crytek.
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
Now, I was pretty impressed from what I saw. Now, apparently this game was announced a while back and then kind of resurfaced during E4 with a different name. But I think that the game remained intact overall. But this,
I like the new name, by the way.
I do, too, because the old name was Vigil...
It was developed by Vigil.
But it was Hunt Horrors of the Gilded Age.
Yeah.
Which I like anytime you say Gilded Age because it's cool, but that's yeah. way too fucking pretentious.
Yeah, it's like Scaries of the Gold Time.
Yeah.
And, no, I like Hunt. I like Showdown.
Yeah, Showdown's
it looks more like a Showdown if you watch the trailer, which we recommend everyone going out and looking up trailers for
these
games.
It looks like Evolve, the game that everyone loved but then suddenly hated, but like with horror elements and a little bit of magic thrown in and a little creepier, like swampy and dank.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty... You know, Crytek makes pretty games, if nothing else.
It was very pretty.
So I'm excited to play this, really.
Yeah. It's some of the best, you know, running around at night that I've seen, like, visually, because, you know, the way they could... It's really tough to explain, but... It was really cool to watch.
I agree.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this thing looked pretty sweet. And it's something I would play if it does come to console. I don't think we have whether or not it will here.
I'm assuming it will be at least PC. Yeah, it felt very PC-based. But I wouldn't be surprised to see it come to a console.
Yeah.
No release date yet. I think it's still, you know, it was just re-announced a couple months ago. So, but what they've got there to show us looks real good. So
I agree.
You YouTube it. Strange Brigade.
Yeah, now this one looked... I'm more hyped for this one for sure.
Yeah.
So let's dig in. So Rebellion developed it. Now, if you're not familiar with them, they do the Sniper Elite series.
Oh, that's true.
And then they did Nazi Zombie Army. The Nazi Zombie game, which is basically like Sniper, but you're killing Nazi zombies.
Okay.
Which is a four-player co-op zombie-killing sniping game.
Well, I like this game because it had a lot of flavors I really liked.
Ah, me too.
And I think, you know, when we watched that trailer, I was like, gosh, it gave me a Sea of Thieves vibe for no other reason other than just those flavors.
Yes.
You know, it felt very cartoony in a way, but still Spielbergian.
Yes.
Is that a thing I can say? Does that make any sense to you?
It does to me.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So it's set in like the 1930s. So we got Zeppelins. We've got that sort of newsreel style trailer. It's like, coming to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. It's like a Fallout commercial in the background. Yeah.
And you play. It's a four-player co-op game where this group of heroes, they don't seem like heroes. They seem more like, you know, just...
Some adventurers.
Yeah, adventurers is probably a better way to put it. But they got to go and kill... what looks to be hordes. I don't know if it's actually going to be hordes, but in the end of the trailer, there was definitely a horde of creatures, classic origin. So
horror tropes all over the place.
Yeah. Just
mummies, zombies. There's a minotaur. We saw a giant, like at the very end scene, it kind of scales back
or something. Yeah.
And you see all the enemies walking toward them. And there's a whole, you know, just cavalcade of different ones. And it looked really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Visually very, you know, it popped a lot of colors and, Kind of cartoony, but realistic at the same time. I really enjoyed it. You investigate paranormal. That's evidently part of the game as you look for, the paranormal. I didn't say that. No release date yet, but it will come to PS4, PC, and Xbone.
Yeah, pretty excited about that because it looks like something that would be just a blast to play. Hopefully it's mechanically sound. And honestly, if you got friends to play a game with it, the game can be kind of shitty. But if you got good friends to play with and the concept's kind of fun, then you're going to have a blast.
Yeah, it might be one of my favorite games at E4 this year.
I agree.
Yeah. Moving on to Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah. Now this is interesting because we know it's not based on the book, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where people get a little uppity.
Well, the short story. It's not really a book, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not based on that. Clearly, it's the RPG based on the pen and paper game, which may have been misnomered then, but this game is based on that misnomer. It's not based on H.P. Lovecraft's short story. But that, all that aside, it looks pretty cool.
It does. We've gotten, I think, two trailers at this point. There was one earlier this year, and then there was a new one here at E4, and I think it probably had some of the better, like, psychological horror stuff that you'd expect, but it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, a few jump scares in there, too, if you look at the trailer, which I'm okay with.
Yeah,
I know it's cheap, but I'm all right with it. Made by Cyanide, which is a developer, and there's probably some other developer or some team mixtures that are going on within this, because from all I could see, their most notable previous works were Pro Cycling Manager, which, bicycle guys, like Lance Armstrong on a bike, managing that,
okay.
And Blood Bowl. which I think was an over-the-top kind of Mutant League-esque football game.
Yes. Yeah. Apparently, that's pretty good. I haven't played it, but
yeah, but it just like this is very much out of that
realm.
This
is a big departure.
Yeah,
this is a big leap. But sometimes it's good. I mean, look what Horizon Zero Dawn did.
There you go. I mean, there's tons of great examples of that working, but it is very interesting. So that's Call of Cthulhu. Again, no release date, no release window, but PS4, PC, and Xbox One, and one that I'll certainly be keeping an eye on.
I'm imagining that this is going to be a sort of along the lines of one of those like Sherlock Holmes games. It's kind of like in my head, like that's how it's going to look and maybe how it's going to play a little bit.
You think so? It's going to be investigative. Sort of, like
I think it's
going to
be like that. I feel like it's going to be very slow.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's important for psychological horror, is to be very, the pacing has to be right.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's actually a really good point. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So those are just games that just kind of dropped here and there onto the interwebs.
Yep.
Via no specific outlet, correct. But then there was the PC game show, and there were a lot of games showed off there, and a lot of them we're not going to mention that are very... very PC-esque. Yeah.
Mountain Blade, Battletech.
Yeah, I think it was like an Age of Empires, DLC or edition or tweak or something, re-release, remake. I don't fucking know.
Just
but
keep remaking that game.
Yeah, all that's good. But here were some more, here were some different ones or some more of the popular ones or ones that actually just interested us. We'll just go ahead and say it.
Truth.
They appealed to us more.
Yes.
One was Ooblets.
Yeah.
Which, you know, very cutesy. Maybe it doesn't seem like a couple guys with beards as sophisticated as ours can be.
But
now
I like Stardew Valley. I like
you
Pokemon.
Do? Hey, I like cutesy things. I like Toad Treasure Tracker.
Like
I like
Kirby.
A lot of Nintendo stuff. Fucking Kirby's my man, if it's a man. Yeah, Kirby's my favorite pillowcase that farts. I enjoy that stuff. So I'm not saying I'm above it, but, you know, it would take something special to get my attention. And, you know, after watching that trailer, I was kind of like, what's going on? This looks like it could be
very
addictive. Adorable and addictive.
Yeah. And so I'm very interested in seeing what the game's actually about, because there are elements, you know, there's some farming elements. There looks like there was some like monster training and fighting elements like Pokemon. Mm-hmm. It looked kind of like they followed you around like Pikmin a little bit. So it looked like it was being influenced by a lot of different things. I like the art style. I like the whimsy of the trailer. And I like games that just take the best from other games and put them together in a cool and meaningful way.
Yeah.
And this looks like it's trying to do that. And I hope it's successful and I hope I get to play it.
Look like a feel-good game.
Yeah.
It just looked like it, you know, was a happy time.
Like a ho-ho-cum or something.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's not exclusive to PC. If I saw that trailer right, it looked like it might also be coming to Xbox.
Yeah.
Not PS4, but I certainly saw Xbox on there.
Cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah, boy.
Another one that's real big, you probably know about it if you follow Cliff Bleszinski on Twitter, which most gamers do. He's a pretty big personality.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him. Lawbreakers. We've known about it for a while now.
Right.
And we got to see a lot more of it, this E4.
Yeah. He, obviously of Jazz Jackrabbit, Unreal Tournament, Gears of War fame. He retired, left Epic Games, retired, and then unretired to make this game. Founded a new studio in Raleigh. This game's been in development for a couple of years. I've been sort of following the development. And I actually, while just a moment ago, I got my beta code for the PS4 version.
Oh.
So I'll be jumping into that maybe this weekend.
Oh, cool.
But it is a... very fast-paced arena shooter. Looks like very skill-based. Kind of puts me in mind of like a Quake a bit, because it's like it's very vertical. There's like
very
low or no gravity,
and
much
I feel
of the
like
map
is the MO.
Yeah,
like they're really pushing that.
Very much so.
It seems like they're trying to push that in order to stand out from some of their what people want to compare them to.
Yeah, I mean the Overwatch comparisons keep coming, and he keeps trying to assuage people, but. You know, it's doesn't even look close to Overwatch to me.
You're in there deep.
Right.
You know, to someone like, I won't even say Meek because I'm familiar enough with both, but, on the surface, if you're just reading about both on the back of the box, you might be like, oh, so.
But I'm interested in this. I'll see how it goes. You know, he was very adamant that this was going to be a PC game at first. He was also very adamant that it was going to be a free-to-play game at first. Both of those have changed. I don't know if it was because of money or if it was because just design decisions, but now it's going to be a $30 title at release, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Not won't be, you know, there's no campaign. It's all multiplayer only. So he's like, I'm not going to charge you
price
for a game. And I was like, I appreciate that. And there's no microtransactions except for skins, cosmetics. So that's good.
I'm glad that's starting to become like the way.
I think so. I think that's really smart. So, I mean, we'll see. It looked neat.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know,
it comes up very soon too.
August 8th. Yeah.
August 8th. Yeah. So. The day of my birth.
Ooh.
It would be a good birthday present to not get that because I'm not interested. But but I'm excited for you to get it and play it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
That's cool though.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Tunic, which tickled me right in my going spot.
Oh, man, that looks great.
It looks good. Now, it mixes a few things that I like. One is just that art style, that blocky, isometric, gosh, I don't
tilt
even know what
shifted
you compare.
A little bit.
Tilt shifted a little. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It felt very plastic, like I just kind of wanted to touch it, wanted to reach in and touch it.
Yeah.
Zelda plus a fox.
And Monument Valley. Those were the three things I compared it to.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of had that world that kind of looks like Monument Valley, but a little flatter.
Mm-hmm.
But it had, you know, the very Zelda-style combat, slashing down bushes and they do the thing.
Yeah, not just Zelda-style combat, but a very Zelda-esque world.
Right.
Even the, if you watch the trailer, there was the mimic that kind of pops out, and it seems to be part of the same, fantasy art style of a Zelda boss, you know, very put together that way.
Yeah.
You'd understand it more if you could see it. Obviously, I'm sure I'm not explaining it
Watch
with
the
justice.
Trailer.
But look at the trailer of Tunic. There was something else about that game. Oh, the action, the sword-based combat. We didn't want to overuse the word Dark Souls to describe the combat.
Right. Because it's much smaller than that, but it does look like that the enemies are going to be kind of powerful and looks like the fights are going to be more strategic than just hack and slash.
Yes, and one thing I really liked about that trailer is it starts out really bright and beautiful, but when you get to this boss, it seems like things get pretty
sobers
serious.
Up really fast.
Yeah, which was really cool. And that'll be on PC, and it just says console for the moment, so we don't know which one, if either. 2018.
Or Switch. Could be Switch.
Could be Switch. That's true.
So it could be one of the three.
That'd be a great-looking Switch game.
I agree.
2018 for Tunic.
Pretty excited about that, actually.
I'll have my brain focused on that one. My brain and my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My mind.
All the things.
So Devolver Digital, they're a publisher for a lot of smaller indie developers. And over the past few years, they've put out such hit titles as Hotline Miami.
That's a big one.
Of course, Hotline Miami 2. What are some others?
Let's see. Nothing else is coming to mind right now. And I know I've played more of their stuff. Broforce. That's a
there
good
you
one.
Go. Yeah.
There's another roguelike that was a first-person shooter. You only had 6 bullets the whole game. You had to go pick them up every time you shot.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they're really, they've done a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of their games are very interesting and unique. They are, it was interesting that they had an E3 spot, I guess, so to speak. They didn't really have a stage or a presentation, but they...
They did some.
They put out a video, obviously, if it went somewhat viral. So if you had your finger on the pulse of E3, you saw it. I really enjoyed it. It comes from their point of view as like they're the little guy and they were trying to get our attention, and they did
through
the video. You know what I mean?
Yes.
My one knock on the video would be like we didn't really see enough of the games because they have great games.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't really show them off well.
Yeah.
But I laughed all the way through that. I thought that was hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious. A perfect send up of every E3 press conference you've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the anytime they can make a big mockery of something like that, I'm down.
Always
I'm down. But they do have some good games, and it's unfortunate that they didn't really show them off or make them more known.
I
think that was not the best decision. But one of them, and I think you might have a hand in the pot, is Absolver.
This one's interested me for a while. I think it's been kind of in the public eye for a couple of years now, maybe a little less than that. But it's a 3D brawler. But with fighting game mechanics, but like very intricate, deep fighting mechanics, very unique art style. I don't know. It's really appealing, the look of it.
Yeah.
The motion looks great. It looks like it'd be something that would be fun to play, even if you're not good at it. But like, there's probably a lot of depth to the mechanics and the strategy. Made by Slow Clap. It's going to be out August 29th. Apparently, there's going to be some RPG elements as well.
And again, not to beat the Dark Souls comparisons into the ground, but a little bit of Dark Souls plus Street Fighter, you could say.
One could make that comparison. So I'm actually pretty excited about this, and I hope it does well. I think it's one of those things that's going to live or die by the mechanic of the fighting. So if it's awful, the game won't work. Everything's going to be hinged on this. So I'm glad they're taking their time, because like I said, it's been in the public eye for a while, so that means it's been in development for at least 3 or 4 years at this point. So hopefully they'll get it right, because yeah. I hope it works.
Oh, it's coming soon, so hopefully they do, and yeah. That's Absolver.
Absolver.
Serious Sam's Bogus Detour. Serious Sam having a long lineage.
Very long.
This one, Absolver's coming to PC and PS4, Serious Sam being PC only, made by Crackshell. Mm-hmm. And it's coming this summer. I didn't see a date, but it just says summer 2017, which is, innocuous. We're in the thick of it. So
yeah.
You'd think we'd have a date by now. But yeah. It is a shoot 'em up, of course, if you're familiar with the Serious Sam games. It's sort of a bullet hell run around and mm-hmm. shoot with old Sam. And they got a new one coming out. It's called Bogus Detour, and it looks pretty cool.
It does look cool.
Another one is Minute. And I thought this was really neat.
Yeah, this one looks pretty... it's one of those things that only Devolver would publish.
Exactly.
And that's why I like them.
Yes.
But go ahead.
It's developed by Jan Nijman, and I believe there's a few other individual names associated, or maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
No, you're right.
But
you're
Jan
right.
Nijman is the main developer of the game. It's due out this year, 2017. Mm-hmm. You should watch the trailer for it, because me describing it, I don't think it's going to do it a lot of justice, because I'm going to end up using words like monochromatic and reminiscent of Zelda, which may not impress you.
Like original Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
No, just.
So it is monochromatic. It's basically black and white. And but the kick is, there's this world. You are a character, and you have 60 seconds to uncover clues in the world before you die, and you start over again. It sounds monotonous, and it sounds like it's not pretty, but when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, wow, that sounds really neat. Like, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. I've never played anything like it, so I'm excited to see it.
And the game will probably be pretty cheap. And probably come to a mobile device. I have a feeling it's kind of a game that could.
Really?
Okay. Like, I don't know, but I'm just saying. I feel like it could.
It looks really cool. It's called Minute, M-I-N-I-T.
Yep.
And
it looks like it's just coming to PC right now, but like I said, I wouldn't doubt if this goes to iPad or Android at some point, because I think Downwell eventually did too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another Devolver game.
Downwell. Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah. It kind of looks like that, but not without the red.
Yeah, more adventure. Yeah. So it was really cool. Next is Eater, E-I-T-R.
Yeah, I don't know much about this one. What do you got on this one?
Well, it's made by Enemy Entertainment. So okay. No, I don't know much either. It comes out this year, though. It's an isometric, pixel-based, mythological Norse fantasy game. How do you like that?
I like all those things.
Borrowed from your book of adjectives. You thought you had all the adjectives. I found some adjectives. But it's very pixel-based. It seems like you're kind of lonely. It feels very Norse, very dark, very...
oppressive, heavy, dank, dark.
Yeah, maybe some magic thrown in, some swords, that kind of thing. But with that, do you remember that game that was shown during E3, of course, this being E4? Mm-hmm. Was it called The Last Night or something like that? Where it was very pixel-based.
Yeah, pretty.
It's sort of, maybe not to that level of refinement, but it kind of reminded me of that. Like, pixels for the sake of being pixels in that art style, but more... You could do more than you could in a pixel-based game. Yeah.
Right, okay.
You play as Shield Maiden.
Okay.
A lot of skilled combat, an RPG level-up system, a lot of loot acquisition.
I like loot.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat.
Very cool.
Again, it comes out 2017, no exact release date.
Be excited to play that.
And then this game I'm really excited for. This looks like a lot of fun.
It's called Ape Out.
Yes.
And this is... another game that has a very limited color scale. It's top down. So imagine Hotline Miami, except vectors and not pixels, and very few colors going on.
And
but
apes and
very well animated.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, very great animations. And you play as like this big ape that's trying to get out of someplace, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like he's locked escape, up. He's trying to get out. And from what I could tell in the trailer, he's ripped off his door and he's using that as a shield. And these guys are shooting at him. And you really, I guess it's probably a lot of twitch and a lot of puzzle at the same time. You got to figure out the best angle and ways to get out of there without getting your ape ass shot up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
It's developed by Gabe Cozillo.
Okay.
It's supposed to come out this year on PC, Xbox One, and PS4. So
that'd be a lot of fun.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Sometimes I just enjoy those like super twitchy, like a Hotline Miami where it's like very difficult, or Super Meat Boy where it's just like, I have a feeling it's going to kind of follow that formula, be difficult, but throw you back in immediately. So you kind of keep that, keep the rhythm going. I love that too.
Because it doesn't give me time enough to be mad. I get, the longer a loading screen is, the more mad I get. There is a trend line associated with that. But if you throw me right back in the action, I'm recovered immediately.
I take all that anger, energy, and channel it into a better run.
Yes, exactly. So, and it might not even work like that, but I hope it does.
I think it will.
So let's run back through and list all the games that we talked about here in this E4. We're here on the E4 show floor. It's been great. We have a lot of fans here talking to us.
So many fans.
It's really loud, so sorry if I'm talking loud. The Hunt Showdown, developed by Crytek.
Yep.
Don't know what all it's coming out for. Strange Brigade,
yep.
Very Indiana Jones, Spielbergian-esque game. PS4, PC, Xbox One, no release date yet. Call of Cthulhu, PS4, PC, Xbox One, again, no release date just yet. Mm-hmm. Ooblets, really pretty Pikmin-esque Harvest Moon / Animal Crossing / Pokemon / everything you love about any video game that's ever made you smile ever. Coming to PC and Xbox One, no release date. Lawbreakers, of course, Cliff Bleszinski's Hero Arena Shooter, August 8th on PC, PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Tunic, kind of like Zelda, but a little more 3D and isometric and tilt-shifted. PC and any console, 2018. Devolver Digital has Absolver, PS4 and PC, August 29th of 2017. Serious Sam, PC, summer 2017. Minute, PC in 2017. Eater, PS4 and PC, 2017. And Ape Out, PC, Xbox One, PS4, TBA, 2017. 17. I think that concludes E4, man. Do you think we did it justice?
I think we did it justice, and you know, this is by no means an extensive coverage of every game that was announced during E4, but it's some of our favorites and some of the ones that piqued our interest. Now, granted, we don't know everything there is to know about these. We've got trailers and maybe a few interviews to look at, but
we just kind of, you know, ran with it, man.
But we like what we saw, and gives us hope for the future, because most of these games, I guarantee it, are going to be budget titles. So I don't think any game on here is going to be $60.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So if you're into the thrifty stuff, I'm guessing probably $40 is probably going to be top of what we pay here. Strange Brigade might be the only one that's $60.
That is true.
And because it's coming from a big publisher. But
yeah.
I think all these are going to be very affordable games to play, and different types of experiences and you know, sort of...
that's a big
bereft
thing for me.
Of all the pizzazz.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me, is that they are very different, very unique. And I mean, that's why you look to someone like Devolver Digital.
Yeah,
you know, you look to them for games that are just obscure and a lot of fun.
Agreed.
So we'll close it out here then. I've been at Trav Plays Games.
And I've been at McAxel.
And together we've been at Polykill. You can find us individually on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Polykill at Twitter. We have a Facebook page. It's one of the best Facebook pages you'll ever see. It's facebook.com/ Polykill Podcast. Find us on YouTube and subscribe. We're at Polykill. Rate us on iTunes if you would do that, please. That'd be pretty awesome. That'd be great. Go over to polykill.com. That's where we post all of our blogs that Brian quit writing for us. That's where we post all the pictures of the collect calls or pictures of people's collections for the collect calls.
And nudes.
And also nudes. Very much in the nudes. You can find us on cartridgeclub.org. Now, org, is that short for organism, Jake?
Orgasm.
I guess it could be. And also, remember, anything that's ever happened to you in a restaurant, we know that's specific, but we also know you have a story.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. I don't want to hear this shit after we release the episode where you meant to send us something. I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah. Tell us about the time you tried to hook up with the breadstick guy at Fazoli's to get extra breadsticks next time you came back.
Yeah, dude, Fazoli's.
Mm. Gosh.
I wish there were more of those.
Same.
Well, anyways, be sure to send all of those stories and anecdotes and times, and you can lie to us. That's fine, too. We have no way of proving it. polykillpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you on episode 45. We've got a big surprise for 45.
Oh, yeah. Peace.